What's up, everyone, and welcome to the 21st episode of the Sad and Aussie EDH podcast, Oko Recap. Today, I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Adam, better known as Poppy Phobia.
What's up, everybody?
And Kevin, better known as Toshoot.
Yeah.
Before we get started today, I think we have a few triggers to resolve in our upkeep.
Yeah, thanks, Kian. So, to start, we're going to shout out all of our high-tier patrons. So, thank you to Dute, Usable Object, Senator Tom, Scorish, Jeff Bezos, Domino, and Geos Justin. The support from all of our patrons has been wonderful, and if you'd like to support us as well, you can at patreon.com/sadnaws. Now that Oko has come and gone, the next big CEDH event is going to be Eminence's Silicon Dynasty in San Jose, California, January 13th through the 15th. There are about 100 tickets left at the time of recording, and I will be there in attendance casting the entire tournament with my partner, Shauna. So hopefully I'll get to see you there. And other than that, don't forget to smash the like button and hit subscribe. And if you're listening on a podcast platform like Apple or Spotify, make sure that you leave us a review and a rating because it'll help us reach new audiences. And with that, I think we're going to move to our main phase. So for today's main topic, we are going to be recapping Monarch's Oktoberfest and what our experiences were with the event. So both Kevin, Kian, and I were all in attendance, competing and fighting for a spot upon CEDH's temporary throne. Some of us did better than others, and today we're just going to talk about all of that. So let's get right into it. So,
I got a question to ask you real quick, though, Adam, to begin with. What was your record?
My record.
This man went from 0 to 3 real quick.
My record. What's reverse vroom? Is it vroom?
Morv.
My record was fine. I 0-3 dropped, but I had two draws in there, so I went 0-3-2.
Bro, my record is more fucking sad. I literally had a top 40 record and fucking missed my own trigger. I got so triggered from missing my trigger, I just fucking quit.
How did you have a top 40 record?
Because I missed a win. I had a literal guaranteed win, uncontested. We'll get into it, but yeah, I'm salty.
Well, if you didn't win, then you didn't have a top 40 record.
Two, three, two got there all the time.
What was your record?
My record
was 1-4-1, and I literally threw a win because I fucking missed my own.
No, so your record was not a top 40 record.
I know. I had it in my hands, and I was like...
Typical.
I took a fucking free win and was just like, what am I...
Typical Butterfinger, Kevin. So I guess we'll start by just like talking about what it was. So Oktoberfest was a CEDH tournament ran by Monarch. They run two events every year, or at least I guess this is the first year for in-person events. So they ran Marchesa back in March over in what was that? That was in Seattle. Yeah. And that's when Clay Beetle won the whole thing playing Magda when Magda went 7-0. I think everybody remembers that. We made a video about it. It was kind of cool. Kian started playing Magda for like 2 months, realized that the deck actually sucks and that the people playing against it were idiots. And that's why it went 7-0. This year it was a little bit different. So this was Oktoberfest. It was a tournament that was supposed to be held in October. Ended up getting pushed back until November, hence like the cute name, like Novemboktoberfest or whatever. And so we went out there, all three of us. It's the first time we've ever traveled as a group for a CEDH tournament. I've been to two so far. You guys had been to none. So we went out there and had a good ass time hanging out in Philly, playing some games, meeting a bunch of people, and kind of enjoying ourselves a little bit. So I guess like the first thing that we can talk about is how you guys felt about like going to a CEDH event. It's the first time you guys have ever gone to one outside of our locals. What did you think of it?
Fun.
You want to start, Kevin?
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, traveling to a new city is always fun. Like traveling in general is just cool. Downtown Philly is fucking neato. I really enjoyed it, you know. The whole travel experience wasn't even that bad. Like, we got pretty cheap, like, hotel tickets, everything. But then, like, showing up at the hotel, or at the you know, event itself was pretty cool because I think it started at, what, 6 p.m. the Friday? So, like, the tournament was Saturday, Sunday. And Friday, they started things at 6 o'clock. We just, like, showed up and, like, fucked around as per schedule. It was cool, like, because you see all these fucking people online, right? And you're like, ah, it's Goober Gobbler 64. And then you see them and you're like, you're a real person. That's insane. How the fuck are you breathing? You're just a guy on the internet. And it, I don't know, it's cool. It's cool, like, seeing all these people play and, like, do well. And you see, like, fucking Elvis walking around recording shit, and you're like, hey, that's the coolest guy I've ever seen. I love his YouTube channel. You know?
Type about so, it, like,
dude is fucking pimp cane walking. I love it. Yeah, no, it was just fun. It was, like, it was fun showing up at the tournament. But then, like, the actual tournament itself was, like, I won't say poorly organized. It was organized. You know, it ran in the same way that a 97 Civic runs. Like, it'll get you there. You know? Like, it technically just driven you to work. But no, like, it was a good event. I liked it. I think the 75-minute rounds were nice. I liked, you know, the decks people brought. I think people played well. Judges were incredible. They dealt with some real horseshit, and they fucking figured it out. Overall, I think it was a pretty solid tournament, you know? And I wish we had more tournaments closer to us, because I liked the environment. I liked the aspect.
Yeah.
What about you, Kian?
I like the travel part. I think going to Philly, I've never been to Philly before. So Kevin and I took, like, whole Friday. We just went seeing all the sights, Liberty Bell, all that. Ate some food, ate some cheesesteaks. Oh,
steak sandwiches.
So fucking good, dude. But yeah, going into the tournament, a little nervous. Wasn't really confident on the deck I was playing. But after, like, a couple games, I was like, okay, wow. Blue Farm is a good deck. Holy shit, who knew? I just have to put two brain cells in, and it works.
Who would have thought, right?
Who knew?
It's almost like we ranked at our second highest deck in the format. Weird.
Hey,
wait,
you mean the first highest deck?
Yeah, we ranked it first, yeah.
First. Our opinions, I think, have changed since then, but that will be for a different episode.
A different tier list.
Different tier list. Yeah, but other than that, it was weird to see, like Kevin said, just the people you interact via Discord, and then you see them, you're like, oh, hey. And then, like, you build up a picture in your mind of what they look like, and then you get there and they don't look like that, and it's like, oh. I'm mildly surprised.
Mad respect for all the people that put their actual, real, fucking human face as their picture on Discord. Like,
yeah,
you're insane.
Over the internet.
You need to see a therapist, but, like, I'm glad you did, because it's fucking, it's great. I looked at you and I was like, I know who you are.
That's what I do.
Yeah, Adam's a Chad. But yeah, like, we met some people, some people in the community. Some people, like, not a lot of people, but, like, a decent amount of people came up. They're like, yo, hey, I like the podcast. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was so
we
weird.
Have fans? The fuck?
It was so surreal that we get, like, 200 fucking views on our YouTube videos, right?
And yeah.
Some fucking dude in one of my games was just like, hey, I know your voice. Are you on that podcast? And I was like, yeah. They're like, are you the American Dad guy?
That is Kevin.
Yeah, that was my general thoughts. Adam, I know this was, like, kind of like the big culmination of, like, all your work, like, trying to, like, meet people, network and stuff. This is kind of like the big event where everybody got together.
Yeah, this was so, like, since we started the podcast, like, a big goal of mine was to get us to the mainstream of CEDH, right? I thought that, like, if I can promote us, if I can get us to get on enough channels and do some things, that eventually we will be as popular, as well known as, like, the Mind Sculptors or as Into the North or any of these other big podcasts that we get a lot of inspiration from. So this was sort of like the proving ground for that, for us as a channel, right? To meet people, to see other content creators, and then meet fans. And it was very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, gratifying, right? Like, it was confirmation that, like, it's been working, and what we've been doing, it has been making an impact on the community, even if it's a small one, which was, like, really cool, I think, for me as, like, someone who, like, my goal was to kind of make content that people would enjoy for CDH. So, like, that was a lot of fun. And, yeah, like, to have people walk up and be like, yo, are you the Sadnaz guy? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, are the other guys here? And I'm like, this time they are. Like, let me go take you to meet them, right? Like, that was fun. And, like, that was, like, so cool. And just, like, playing games and hanging out with friends and people that, like, I don't get to see very often. This is the first time that I got to meet Callahan from the Mind Sculptors. They were absolutely a fun time to be around. It was the first time that I got to meet Nicholas from Monarch and a bunch of the friends that I made while I worked at Monarch. I mean, I still work there, but, you know, I'm an Eminence caster now, so I spend a lot less time on their team. So, like, getting to see all them for the first time and see all the hard work that they put into it, that was really fun. And it was, like, a grandiose event. I mean, we were at the Lowe's Hotel. You walk in, it felt like a Great Gatsby CEDH event, you know what I mean? Like, you walk in and there's, like, big fancy pillars and artwork, or not artwork, but, like, all this cool decoration, and then you got guys walking around with drinks and stuff. Like, hey, this is kind of, you know, fancy, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it was a good time. Yeah, basically, just a little bit. It was really fun, and then the vibe was great. I thought that everybody was, like, having a good time. And then, you know, getting to hang out with, like, Mikey and Chris and all of our other friends and make new friends for the first time. Like, that was just, like, a load of fun. Seeing Alan again, seeing Rebel again. Like, these are people that I genuinely, like, enjoy spending time with and hanging out with. Ian, you know. So it was really cool. It was just, like, a fun-ass time. Get to make friends, see friends, and drink and get fucked up and eat, you know, copious amounts of food and play CEDH, and there's nothing
all
better than that.
On the drink thing, to all the people in Philly, all right, listen, you guys need to talk to your local lawnmakers about closing liquor stores at fucking 8 p.m., dude. Like, yeah, let's go. That's not allowed here. Why can't Wisconsinites?
Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm the only person here who was not, like, generally a Wisconsin person for most of their life. I don't know if both of you were born here, but I know you've been here for quite a while, right? Like, you were born here. So I'm the only person who has, like, was born out of state and has lived in different states. And when I moved here, I was like, what the fuck? Booze stores are open on Sunday? Like, all goddamn, that's crazy. Because most booze stores are closed on Sundays, and then, like, a lot of places close at, like, 9 p.m. anyways. These motherfuckers on a Sunday are out at, like, 10, 11 a.m. at night and, like, yo, let's get some booze at CVS. Like,
listen, we had to celebrate, dude. I want my bottle of vodka. I couldn't even get that.
It was funny that we were, like, walking, like, okay, there's a liquor store, and it's, like, 5 p.m. Like, let's go to this liquor store. We go there, and the liquor store is closed. Then we're like, well, there's a CVS. Let's go there and get some booze. And then the CVS didn't sell booze. And then we're like, well, here's a Target. They'll for sure have booze. They don't have booze. And we're like, well, here's a gas station. At least we can get booze there. Nobody at the gas station.
Nobody had booze. I don't.
I'm like, what the hell, dude? I can't even walk into, like, a daycare without seeing someone selling booze in Wisconsin.
Not even a beer in sight.
Yeah, it was just funny. And, you know, that maybe it was on us for not getting booze on Friday or Saturday, but we wanted to celebrate, and we'll talk about why in a minute. But, like, yeah, it was just funny. Like, no, they couldn't find alcohol in Philly unless we went to a bar, which we weren't really down for at the time. But
I just like how it's second thought, or, like, second nature for us. Oh, the liquor store is open 24/7 or 7 days a week, bro. Let's go get a bottle real quick.
Yeah, I guess I
get
guess
there. Wait, no.
Liquor stores aren't open on Sundays as much as we think they should be.
How else are you supposed to deal
with
church?
We'll go down by the Quick Trip and get a set of 175 while we're there, okay?
Yeah, that simple.
I just put it in my bag there. Oh, yeah, speaking of Quick Trips, bro, they got Wawa's out there. Yo, Wawa's are pretty good, but, you know, Quick Trips are better. I mean, people in the comments, you can suck my dick.
Nothing,
Quick Trips are better.
Nothing compares to a Quick Trip, but Wawa does a pretty good job, I'd say.
Bro, have
I
you
like
been to Bucky's?
Yes, bro, and Quick Trips is better.
I don't know what
Bucky's
is.
Bucky's are literally the size of, like, Omega Walmarts. I went into a Bucky's once that had 134 different types of jerky. They had three different soda machines with 24 different flavors, and each one was different.
Yeah, why do you need that much stuff?
Because it's fucking Texas, bro.
See, it's not. Listen, like, quantity does not compare to quality, and Quick Trip is quality.
True.
Cap, doubt, X.
Doubt, really, wow.
Doubt, bet, cap, bet.
But other than that, like, the tournament was good. I mean, so, like, this is a new version of their tournament software, SquireBot. It did an all right job. I was kind of pissed off that, like, the pairings were so fucked up. Like, you would, like, get a pairing, and then you'd sit at your table, and then you'd look at your pairings again, and everybody's seat position changed. Like, that was stupid.
I lost first seat three times.
And I don't think it was like that bad. I think what the problem is that they didn't notify anybody that this is a thing. Because like if you start the tournament and you say, hey, don't like the pairings will tell you what table you go to, but until you're ready to start the match, do not look at like do not sit down in seat order. That would have been fine because then everybody would know that it's a problem. But like the first two rounds, I don't even know if my seat order was correct because it could have changed before we actually started playing and none of us just looked at the pairing sheet again. You know what I mean? Or looked at the Discord thread until like later on. But other than that, that was like my only real complaint about the event. I felt like the judge staff was like really, really exceptional. Specific shout out to our boy Seth. Seth is probably one of the best judges I've ever interacted with. He judges Eminence events. He judges Monarch events. He judges for PAX. He judges for Magic cons. Like, dude is just a kick-ass fucking judge, like, all around. And we had some really, really, like, spicy judge calls throughout the week, and Seth did an amazing job. And then also Libby, too. Libby was awesome to talk to, awesome to interact with.
Yeah, I think Libby did a good job.
As a head judge, he really ran the event like, so smooth and put everybody's mind at ease. Libby does a really good job of making you feel like you're his friend. And so, like, as a judge, he makes you very comfortable with asking questions or calling him to the table. So, like, Libby did an exceptional job as well.
He's very charismatic. I like the way he handled things.
Yeah, and I think that they were that combination together, you having Libby and Seth, because Seth was the appeals judge, really made the whole tournament go by really, really smooth. Because like Seth was, I think Libby and Seth were taking appeals, but then Seth was the judge for all the showcase matches, the feature matches that were streamed online, and he just did an exceptional job. So I want to give shouts out to them because I feel like some of the judges in the community are a little underappreciated sometimes. But other than that, I think the event went really, really good. I don't know how you guys felt.
Yeah, I thought it was like it. I haven't been to any other CDH events, so I don't really know like a point of reference. But I thought that for the most part, it went off smooth. You didn't have like any major hiccups, you know, in between rounds, besides you know turns or whatever. Like the software, although it had like the turn order stuff, it didn't update the pairing or the standings frequently, which kind of sucked.
That did
suck
too.
But I thought other than that, it was like the software ran good and the judges and the staff just, you know, did their job exceptionally well. That's what I thought. So
something that was interesting was on the first day, the vote at the end of the fifth round. That was really weird. Fuck. So like
there's supposed to be six rounds.
So it's a 7-round tournament with a cut to top 40. And then from the cut to top 40, 8 players get a bye, the top 8 players. And then the next 32 fight for the other 8 spots for top 16. And the tournament was running late because the time in rounds, they were giving a lot of extensions and time in round was going very late. Where like some games were going an hour past time. I remember one time I looked at the clock and it was 54 minutes after time in round had been called. And
I was like, one was like an hour 20 or hour 15, hour 20 is like,
yeah. So these rounds were going really, really late. And the way a CDH tournament is set up is 75-minute rounds and they allot for like 30 minutes of time in round. So when a game goes an hour and 20 minutes, that's another 75-minute round, you know? So, at the end of the fifth round, it was like already like 8 p.m. and people had been playing since 10. So we were tired. People were not like, honestly, it wasn't that bad. Like we could have played the sixth round. I don't think anybody would have complained. But what the staff decided to do was ask the players to take a vote that they could push game 6 and 7 to the next day.
Discord, but raising their hands and counting the votes.
Which I think is better. I think, honestly, raising your hand is better than going through Discord because...
I feel like they could have just put one comment and said thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, you could have just reacted. Yeah.
But I don't think you do it regardless. I think you just run the sixth round.
Yeah. You make the decision.
True. I think you just make the decision whether you run it or not.
Yeah, I don't think you let the players decide. But anyways, so they had the players raise their hands if they wanted to push round 6 and 7 to tomorrow or just eliminate round 7, which I thought was a horrible option. I thought that was the shittiest option you could give people. It's like, okay, we can either push. I thought the option should have been push both games till tomorrow, or we just play it out as scheduled. But instead, the two options you got were push it till tomorrow, or we eliminate a round and ruin all the standings.
At the time, I was one. God, let me think about side five games. I was 1-2-2, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 1-3-1. I can't remember. But like I knew, like I was in a position where when they did that vote, I was like, "Holy shit! I win next turn cycle," and we're none of us are playing blue. So I was like, "This is a fucking easy win."
Oh yeah,
like,
they also
cancel the seventh round. Cancel the seventh round.
They also did it in the middle of a game. Like they didn't wait till before the round started. They did it mm-hmm. in the middle of a game. So like I was in a position where our table already elected a draw because it gave us better chances for the sixth and seventh round because we were in a 3-person pod. So we elected to draw, and then if they would have eliminated the seventh game,
you'd have been fucked.
We just don't make it. So, like, it was just funny as shit. And I thought that was, like, I thought that was kind of a blunder. But it ended up working out. Everybody voted to push the games to the following day, and then the following day was a really good day for play. It was a long day for those that made it to the final pod. But for everybody else, it was a fucking nice-ass short day. But yeah, so we can delve into how we did. So Kevin, why don't you talk about how you did?
So my overall record wasn't great. I think I ended one. I only played 6 of the 7 rounds, which I'll get to that later. I have a whole spiel on it. I think I went 1-3-2 of my 6 rounds, which is like statistically like pretty average. I was playing Gitrog for fun because I wanted to bring the Pimp Mobile, and I didn't feel like building Najeela fully at the time, which I now have. I had a couple noteworthy games. I died to a 14-14 double striking trampling land because my Besaidu got deflecting swatted. I fucking skamazed people, and like I had people at my table pogchamp because they were like, holy shit, he sacked a land to make a green to fucking channel Besaidu to kill the land to survive. Holy shit. And then the guy deflecting swatted it. So that's how I got bumped out of the tournament, basically. But my fifth game, the one that got interrupted by the vote, I had a Gitrog win. I had a guaranteed win on board. I just had to not fuck it up. Crack LED, discard Kozilek. Fucking just forget that trigger. Keep doing stuff. Some guy goes, can I see your exile? And I go, yeah, of course, bud. And he's like, how do you plan to win the game without a Titan trigger? And I was like, I've got the cut. Fuck. They called a judge, and then they were like, vote on the table. Everyone said, fuck no, you cannot shuffle. You're absolutely not. So I threw a free win, and this was right after we did the vote where I was like, oh shit, if I get my second win doing the math, like I'm pretty much guaranteed top 40. So I was fucking salty at me. Mm. It was very grumpy at me because I like they were sitting there like, oh, how do you win through Chains of Mephistopheles? And I was like explaining these complicated loops, and I was like fucking sacking Dakmor and shit. And it was really cool, and they were like, how do you shuffle? And I was like, oops.
Did you not have the other Titan?
No, I exiled it. I plunged into darkness for like 33 or some crazy shit. Found my Dakmor and I fucking went for it because that was the tutor I had, right? So like I just went YOLO, and it worked. I won the game until I just decided to shit my pants and fucking lose on purpose. I guess.
This is why you got to be so, like all the other Gitrog pilots and run 3 shuffle effects.
I don't even think there are. There's what? Guy's Blessing.
Bad yeah, card. There's the green one.
Anywho, well then when they let Emrakul free, I'll do it. Fucking Nas. I'll run Pyr, Emrakul, Kozilek. We don't give a shit. No, it was fun, though. I mean, I had a good time. So this is... we'll probably get to, like, top 16 later. I think we were in the 0-2-1 pod. So, like, the kind of the dipshit section. Like, we were all fucking bad. We were all losing a lot of games. And then I saw a cool guy, John from the Gemstone Mine. Very, very nice. Playing the goofiest, at quote his words, nonsense. Ever. It was some fucking weird Azorius commander. I don't even know what it is.
It was some background commander. It was like like Gale and some other
some wonky fucking bullshit. Honestly, something that I would normally be like, haha, dog heck emoji, this is bad. So anywho, I play a frog game and I beat him, right? So I put him into the 0-3-1. So he has 3 games left. We shake, we talk, you know, we exchange tokens, we talk about our little, you know, fucking
we did the
content creator.
We did the token exchange.
Yeah, it was nice. And then turns around after game 7, John comes up to me and he's like, hey, bud, I got 3 wins. I'm in top 40. And I was like, John, I left you at 0-3-1. what did you do and how are you so good at this game?
He turned it around. He turned it around.
I know. Yeah, but that was my only frog win, my only official frog win. And I'll get to this later, but this is when I was at a low point, and Kian was at a low point for some reason. Kian was like fucking 2-2, 2-3 something.
2-3.
I think you were at 2-4. You were at 2-4 or something.
2-4, yeah.
You were doing well. You were doing genuinely well. And this motherfucker says to me, I want to drop and play Popper. And I was like, Kian, honey, even if you lose your next game and go 2-5, there's a small chance you get in because of the wins you got. Your breakers are good. And if you get a tie or better, you're guaranteed top 40. Do not fucking quit on me. The fucking Super Saiyan Dragon Ball Super where Vegeta yeets himself off the cliff and is like, Goku, take my last blue ball. I gave Kian my blue ball. And I said,
that fucking, doesn't sound good at all.
I went into Discord and saw Varlys exclamation T drop, and I said, fuck you, go undrop. And he did. And this motherfucker got, well, you got another win, right? You got a win.
Yep.
Well, that's not which important. Leads me into let's talk about the, my game.
Yeah, let's talk about what
we'll,
Adam
we'll
did.
We'll suspense
well,
the
let's give the lowdown on the 0-3 drop man himself. World yeah. renowned.
Sacred guy drop.
So, yeah, I had some really intense games, and I only had one blunder, and that blunder led me to lose. So my first game was fucked up, all right? That game was fucked. I was going fourth in turn order, and we had a Yevo player going first, and we got fucking demolished by the Yevo player. It was one of those instances where, like, when you see that monocolor decks do well in tournaments, I know exactly why now, because nobody gives a fuck about them. They're just like, what is that deck going to do? Nothing. They only have one color, and it's like, hey, fuckheads. Look at what's going on. There's a fucking...
They might be on the short bus, but they can still fucking ride.
They make
ride.
Eight
go
mana,
boom.
And they copy shit, and they have an Ashaya on board. We're going to die. So, like, it was just funny. It was, like, me, another TNT player, I think, or it was Timna Bruce, or Thrasios Bruce, and then
that
someone deck. Playing... No, Thrasios Bruce is good. Thrasios Bruce
no,
made
no,
top
that deck's
four.
Good. TNT, yeah. TNT is bad.
Oh, TNT is bad now. And then a Korvold player. And, like, my turn one was, like, land Dork go, and then my Dork got Gilded Draked.
Oh, who fucking does that? Holy shit. Oh,
and
my God.
I was like, all right, well. And then nobody touched the board state of the Yevo player, and the Yevo player just kind of ran away with the game on turn four, and they made a bunch of copies of whatever fucking that... I don't even know green cards anymore, dude. Whatever that green fucking fat guy is that draws three cards every time it ETBs. So they just drew their library and won with some fucking Ashaya combo because all their creatures were lands and you can't Cyclonic Rift
it. Fucking green commons from like 13 years ago.
Yeah. So they just green they just combo. Ran away with the game. So that was my game one. My game two, I had the win. I went for the win and I'm an idiot. I did that thing where I tried to big brain myself. I had Sacred Guide in play. I put my Thoracle on the stack. But before I put my Thoracle on the stack, I'm like, if they have removal, I should exile my library first. So I exile my library, put my Thoracle on the stack. They just counter my Thoracle, and then I lose the game. Yeah, that one was bad because I had a Pact of Negation in hand. So I'm like, I got counter spells for the counter spells, and a person who was tapped out, and I applaud this player for playing so well. They were tapped out, had no interaction, had four cards in hand. The four cards in hand were Force of Will, Force of Negation, and two other blue cards. Yeah, so I go for the win after they attempted a win already and couldn't protect their own win. I go for a win, and they just had it. They had the nuts, so I lost that game.
How do they not protect their own win with at least one free counterspell?
They had something in play that allowed them to draw a card. So for one, they had the Force of Negation. So it wasn't a fish. It was like a Staff of Domination or some shit. But like they... they had the Force of Negation in hand, but not enough mana to protect it because it's on their own turn. And then they drew into the Force of Will off of whatever effect they had that let them draw a card. Oh, they were playing Shorokai. So after they went for their win attempt and didn't get there, they did the Shorokai shit and drew a card, and that card was Force of Will. So when all the table spent the interaction to stop them winning with Isochron Scepter, and then it gets to my turn, and I'm like, balls to the wall, baby. I'm going to win. And they had, yeah, they had protection. And so I got fucked. And so that game ended up, I ended up losing to the Shorokai player. Applauds to them. That was really good. And then another game, I attempted a win attempt and failed miserably as well. That game I had, I was like mulled a four. I kept a lab man in a consultation. I played the lab man, kept trying to consult in my upkeep, but they would kept like before it was my upkeep, they kept bouncing the lab man to my hand. So I had to keep tapping out to play it. Then finally I get it off. One player had one counter spell. That was enough to stop me. And then we lost to like this player playing like some Azorius deck that like took infinite extra turns. So yeah, so it was tough. And then I was able to force two draws because like win percentage, baby. I remember the one game I forced the table to ID, and then the other game was like this Urza player was like running away with the game, and so I basically like directed threat at the Urza player and then was watching the clock and making sure that the other players weren't like able to win the game. Like I would strategically counter the specific spells that they were casting while forcing them to interact with the Urza player because I had no outs left, so I was trying to draw the game, but doing so without trying to like stall, because stalling is a game's rule violation. Like you can get fucking, you'll get a game loss for stalling. So
true.
Yeah.
Except in Gitrog. MTR 513.4 says that if I'm drawing cards, I'm changing the game state. yeah, I actually just remembered one of my fucking games. Not to butt in, mm-hmm. but fucking the game where we got interrupted with the vote. Our pod was Corvold, Gitrog, Yisan. That game was fucking vroom, dude. We literally all looked at each other, and we were like, no interaction, all gas, and we were like, yup. Every single one of us went for a turn two win. Just back to back to back, and fucking Abrupt Decay and Assassin's Trophies were goated in that
like
game.
Like MVPs of the game.
We had a Witherbloom combo killed twice. Because the dude went fucking Breach, Witherbloom, Command.
That's so funny. So yeah, so after my 0-3-2, that's how I ended day one. And basically spent all night drinking and decided to sleep in. So I dropped at like 2 a.m. And so
And then the next night you fucking 03 plane dropped.
Yeah, then I did also oversleep and drop my plane. We can talk about that later. But Kian, why don't you tell the cast about your experience?
Well, first off, I made top 16. So that was pretty good. I think my record was 4-5. I think that sounds right. 4-5. Wait. 9 rounds, right? So 7.
So wait, you were 3-4, and then you won. So,
he was 3. You were 3-4 in that. Yeah,
and then I won
Swiss.
2 more games.
Yeah.
You won what? 3 games in a row, I think, at the end.
So 6-4.
No, you went.
You would have went 4-4, right? Because you won your 7, you made top 40, you won the game outside of top 40. That would have been your 8th game to get into top 16, and then you lost in top 16. Mm-hmm. So your final record would have been 4-4.
4-5.
4-5, yeah.
Because you're 7 games plus 1 plus 1.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
4-5.
So I was right first time. Out of
woo,
the math. But yeah, 4-5, game
4-5 1. 4-5 drop, woo!
4-5 drop, Pog. 4-5 drop. Game 1, I sit down. Chat them up. They pull out 2 Golgari decks and a Winota deck. I'm on the play. So I'm like, this is just a free win at this point. Like, so I'm like, all right, hard maul to like Gnaw's turn 2. The second 7 is Mana Crypt, Wishclaw, 2 lands, a pact, and some other cards. Doesn't matter. I'm like, okay, maybe I can, you know, top deck something good, or I have the grind game. I top deck a Wishclaw first turn. I'm like, okay. Easy Gnaw's, doesn't matter. So yeah, won that game. Game two was kind of crazy. Went off with Horn of Harnfell and like couple wheels. The Kark player from Buff Town Bullies, I don't know his name, but he had a Rhystic Study out the whole time and was not drawing any interaction whatsoever, any free interaction. So kept on going off with Bergy. the last Bergy flip was an extra turn spell, Final Fortune, which is the exact card I needed to win the game. So did that, won that game. And then I went in the feature match, and misplayed. I was trying to priority bully. I had all the interaction, and I knew the TNK player across from me had at least like a force or, you know, a SWAT or something. So I was trying to make him use his interaction. He didn't, and we lost because he didn't use his stuff. And then at the end of the game, he revealed he did have a force and neg. So that would have been useful. Yeah, we both lost. And then I lost two more games after that. Yeah. Then I was like, I'm just going to drop, bro. I want to play Popper. I just got Cycle Storm ready. I don't want to play CDH. Fuck this. And then Kevin in the hotel room is like, do it, pussy. You paid $30 for this shit. Just go and play the game. Come on. Like, you have
contention. I would like to call back. So, I made this joke at the tournament. Of all of the dredges I made that weekend at Philly,
most
important one was I dredged you out of the sadness hole you had the night before. I could tell you were fucking Morv. You were having a bad time. You felt bad about Blue Farm. I could just tell you weren't feeling like our practice games. I don't think you did very well at all. And I was like, Ian, you fucking made my frog deck better when I was on like a fucking 15 game losing streak. I was like, I'm going to make you play. And I says, Ian, fuck a mid-range Blue Farm. Go Vroom. I said, quote, go Vroom.
Go Vroom.
I need you to fucking play Turbo. Just fucking win.
And I went Vroom.
And this motherfucker walks up to me, goes 2-0 first two games. Got him.
I went Vroom. And it worked. Yeah. And then, where was I? Yeah. Kevin dredged me out. I was like, dude, why am I playing Blue Farm when I can just play Rog'Sai? It's just so much better of a deck. You know, classic shit. And then...
then you realized you're bad at Rog'Sai and that Blue Farm is your calling?
Shut up, 03, Sacred fucking Copium.
I think I'm better at Rog'Sai than Blue Farm, TBH.
Really?
But
I think
Farm, you are too, honestly.
Well, here, how about this? I think that you pilot Blue Farm better into our meta than you do Rog'Sai, because you kind of get blown the fuck out when you play Rog'Sai.
I got
us.
It. You got to go for it. Vroom.
you sip the fucking gender fluid in the fucking car a little too hard. You know, you're like, I'm going to go fucking vroom, bro. Give me the fucking windshield wiper. I'll take some gas and some oil. And you just chug the whole car. You just fucking vroom it.
Yeah,
bro.
Vroom. Rog, vroom. Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, day two. The first pod, day two. First pod, day two. I sit down. I'm like, all right, I have to win this game. I'm not going to lose this game. I sit down, there's Urza, Magda, and Temeshi. I'm like, okay, a Dockside hand with the Gnaws would be pretty sick here. I'm going second. Urza mulls to five. I'm like, all right, cool. My second seven is City of Traders, Chromox, Dockside, Mystical Tutor. I'm like, and another land. I'm like, okay, I can win this game. So I'm like, all right, land, pass. And then Temeshi goes Graf Digger's Cage and another artifact. Magda player goes three artifacts, pass. And then Urza players plays two artifacts and pass. I'm like, Vroom in time, Mystical Tutor, Ad Nauz. Get Ad Nauz on top, Dockside. And then the Temeshi is like, I had Force Will the whole time. I should have just Force Willed your Dockside. I just assumed you had counter spells. So, like... I should have just Force Willed it. I'm like, that's what you get for sandbagging, buddy. Then I walked away.
Sure. Was that you had a game? You came up to me and you told me that you won. Where like you were like a turn two Blue Farmed them, and I was like, hell yeah, bro.
Yeah, and then they were very salty. They're like, of course Blue Farm, of course he has the Dockside. They're all saying that. I'm like,
funniest fucking shit ever. Literally right after we had that conversation, I sat down for round three and I got turn two Blue Farmed. I went land dork pass and then fucking got up from the table after that because I got
vroomed.
Fucking raw docked.
Got vroomed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty good. And then the most stressful game of CDH I've ever had.
Ever played by anyone.
Honestly, I wouldn't doubt it. I've got a random piece of information in the middle of your game that will help add to it.
Okay.
So, start.
So, top 40, I'm like, oh, sick. I made it. I just have to beat this next pod. I was like, okay, I don't care. I made day two or made top 40. I don't care at this point. You know, we're doing better than Kevin Adam. I can hold it over them. I don't care. Sit down. I'm against Sick Robot Reed from Into the North. The same TNK player that lost us the game in the feature match on game three. And then I forgot his name. He was on Will Nog What's the...
Oh, Wernog and, yeah.
It the was, Gruul one.
What Sans Blue Friends Forever.
No. Yeah.
Will, it would be Will and Wernog.
Yep, that guy. So I was like, okay, this is going to be uphill battle. It's going to be at least 2 hours because Reed's going to sit here and politic the game. I literally told him that before we started. I'm like, well, this is going to take 2 hours because of you. And he was like, don't say that. That's not going to happen. I'm like, yeah, it is, buddy. But yeah, that was a game. I was Reed Hart, like Malta, oof. I had like a turn two Crown that I didn't play, which is a huge misplay. I just was getting flashbacks to him Gilded Draking my Crom. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to let that happen. That's going to get out of control. And he's like, oof. I'm like, fuck. But yeah, oof. The oof. Wernog players on like Dockside Kiki combos and other like Sans Blue combos, like Breach, Peer in the Abyss and stuff. Yeah, game progresses. I get Crom out eventually. Wernog goes for a win with like Kiki Jiki and Kiki Jiki. He plays Dockside, tries to go for like Kiki Jiki, copy Dockside, go get Emil, some line like that. I'm holding Blue Blast the whole time, and I'm like, no, you guys need to counter this. I don't have anything to do. I only got one mana open. So there's a counter war that happens. He gets stopped. Table goes back. Reed just out of the blue end step tainted packs. I'm like, Swan song that shit. Get backs to me. I have a Burgi out, Burgi Necro. I have, So there was a Dothi out. There's a Dispel under Dothi. There was, in my hand, I have Cabal Ritual.
Wait, what spell?
Dispel.
Oh, okay.
I have like Cabal Ritual, Yawgmoth's Will, Necro, FF, and like a land or something. Did I have a Blue Blast? I don't know.
Yeah, you had Blue Blast the whole time.
Yeah. But I had I Cabal Ritual hoping he would use the Dispel. Reed exiles Reed exiles a card from my bin to make my Cabal Ritual worse because it would take away a threshold. So I play Necro. I'm like, all right, main phase is Final Fortune. Burgi trigger. It gets countered. I'm like, okay. That's okay. I'm like, all right, FF. Or I'm like, all right, Yawgmoth's Will, Burgi trigger. They're like, okay, that resolves. I'm like, I don't know. Did he endurance me in response to my FF or my Yawgmoth's Will? I think he did. Sorry, I'm taking too long explaining.
This is where I would like to point out that this is an outsider's perspective. It's top 40. They're like casting the shit on the TV, and we're like watching it fucking live with a 6 second delay, 200 feet away, and we're like also playing our own games.
This wasn't the feature match though, bro.
This was your. I remember whatever it was. People were like talking about the one game, and then people were like going in looking at your game and coming. I think Adam gave us information. I remember specifically someone told me, yeah. Kian has a Burgi up. He just triggered his second free red mana off of Burgi. He's a Yawgmoth's Will, and he played Final Fortune. And I was like, cool. It's going to last 3 minutes. Kian will win, or he will lose, and he will come talk to us. And then fucking 45 minutes later, I'm like, hey, guys, did Kian's game end?
Yeah, so what was happening was we had a bunch of friends in the lobby, and I was relaying all the information of the game back to them because I was getting so stressed out watching your game that I couldn't watch it anymore. So, like, you're, like, going for a win attempt, and I'm, like, watching your win attempt, and then your win attempt gets stifled, and I'm, like, walking away. I'm like, oh, now Kian just lost or whatever. It's like, I remember what happened was, like, you go Dark Ritual into Necro. Necro lands. Nobody counters it. I look in your hand, and you have Final Fortune. And I'm like, this is it. Like, Kian's going to do it. But you knew that there was a counter spell live. So you went for Final Fortune main phase instead of necroing your life total away and then going for Final Fortune. So you put out the Final Fortune, it gets countered, they dispel the Final Fortune. Then you're like, haha, fuckers, you fell for my trap card, and you Yawg's Will to cast your Final Fortune out of your bin with the Burgi mana that you've had from your Burgi. And I'm like, this is
so. The Final Fortune made the first mana. The Yogg-Will made the second one.
And then he can redo Then he can redo the Final Fortune. I'm like, this is fucking so big brain, dude. He outsmarted the whole table, and we got rid of the Douthi in the process. I'm like, this is fucking sick. And then they counter the Yogg.
Yogg-Will. They didn't counter it. They endurance me.
Oh yeah, that's right. They endurance
I was like, no.
So then, So then Kian has no way to win the game. So he plays like a rock. With the two mana he has floating, plays a talisman, and then necros for seven. Then he moves to end step. I look at the necro for seven, and there's a mnemonic betrayal. And I'm like,
No, there wasn't. There was, I necroed for seven, it was complete dog shit. I necroed for two randomly, like the next turn, and it was blue spell, mnemonic betrayal.
No, it was that seven. It was that seven because I remember I have the Discord messages. It says, Kian just went for a win and lost. He has mnemonic betrayal in hand. If he gets another turn, he wins the game. And I walked
remember
away.
Necroing for two, and the two cards was a blue spell and mnemonic betrayal.
Maybe he went 2-7 either way.
No. I necroed.
Either way, you had mnemonic betrayal. And I'm like, if this guy gets another fucking turn, he wins the game. Otherwise, he's fucked. And I look, and you have to go through this player, Reed, and then the other player. I'm like, there's no way he wins this game. Like, there's someone, and there's a Kiki on board still. I'm like, we're fucked. Yeah. Like, there's no way that Kian gets her. So I walk away. I'm like, this is too stressful. So I go and I relay all that information back to everybody else. Then I come back, and it's your fucking turn. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like, yo. And like your hand now, you have like mnemonic betrayal, blue elemental blast, another counter spell, and mind break trap. And I'm like, yo. I'm like, yo.
Game.
Kian's going to do it. So I see you go and you put mnemonic betrayal on the stack. And I'm like, this is the fucking game. And you have, you had a Mystic Remora. You led with Mystic Remora.
Critical point.
Yes. You put Mystic Remora down. And I'm like, this guy's big brained. He's going to draw cards while he's trying to win the game. That's fucking the biggest brain shit ever. And you're like, you put the Mystic Remora down. And then you go, can I see cards in graveyard? And you look, and there's a Tainted Pact and a Thassa's Oracle and a bunch of fucking rituals.
Dark Ritual. There's a Peer in the Abyss. There's a bunch of shit.
I'm like, this is game over.
Fox Diamond.
Yeah. So Kian goes, okay, Mnemonic Patrol. By the way, this is at the point where people are like, they have heard, because I've been running everywhere telling everybody, like, this is Sadnaz versus Into the North. Like, this is the game of all games, right? This is Reed, who's an established tournament player who makes every top 16, and then Kian, who loses to his
fucking Froom on the internet,
who loses with Thassa's Oracle ETB on the stack after he cast a successful consultation. Like, this is David and Goliath, okay? And so everybody knows this, and like, this is the last game before to top 16. You guys are the last game going, so like, there's a big crowd of people, and it's, like, intense, and everybody's watching, and I'm recording the game. I have the camera set up. I'm, like, recording the game, and you put the Mystic Remora down. Mystic Remora resolves. Then you put Mnemonic Betrayal down, and let me say, Mnemonic Betrayal did not resolve for 45 minutes. Mnemonic Betrayal remained on the stack for 45 minutes, and what had happened was there was a bit of a counter war. Someone led with a counter spell. You, I believe, countered it back. Then they mind break trapped, targeting. Yeah, they mind break trapped everything on your board, and there was an Esper Sentinel and a Fish Trigger.
What happened was, so that he Limdun's Vault. He went to go get mind break trap, and I knew he went to go get mind break trap because he asked, "Oh, you cast three spells this turn?" I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah. Let me lend this vault. All right, I'll pay 15. I'll put this card on top. I have an Esper Sentinel. If anybody can cast a spell and not pay for it, I'm going to draw this Mind Break Trap. So that's the pretext to what happens next. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I go. Yeah. Adam, you explain the judge call because I'm so mad.
So they get Mind Break Trap. and they put their Mindbreak Trap on the stack, targeting everything, every spell that you've cast, including the Mnemonic Patrol, which is on the stack. With that Mindbreak Trap, there is a trigger. There's an Esper Sentinel trigger and a Fish trigger.
Kian's Fish
trigger. So there's a little bit of politicking going on at the table. And Reed is kind of, the way that Reed plays is he kind of denotes game actions at the table. And to what had happened is the Esper Sentinel trigger would go on the stack first because it's Apnap and you're the active player. So the Esper Sentinel would resolve. So what Reed's exact words were was you're going to draw and you're going to draw. Esper Sentinel's going to go on first. And then Reed goes, okay, draw your card. And then says to you, Kian, you draw next. So Kian picks up the card that he's supposed to draw from Mystic Remora. When that happens, Reed looks at the player next to him and says, wait, did you pass priority on the draw trigger? Because you have time to respond. Anticipating that that player had interaction that they would want to use before you got to draw. With that being the case, the large crowd of people, they're all watching this happen. And you say, my bad, and you put the card back on your deck. And Reed is like, okay, cool. Like, we figured that out. And then you'll have priority. And then someone from the crowd who...
Yes, I'll give face.
Morgan, I'll give credit where credit is due because this is the correct thing. He goes, you should probably call a judge for that. And everybody looks up at Morgan and everybody looks back at the table and Reed goes, yeah, I should probably call a judge. So they call a judge over. Now, I will preface this by denoting the reason why that's important. The reason why that is important is because if Reed does not call the judge there, Morgan has every right to call a judge instead. If someone from outside of the game calls a judge when there is a known game rules violation, the entire table gets a GRV and gets a warning because they are not upholding the game state. So if Morgan were to call the judge there, you, Reed, and the other two players would get a GRV and get a warning. And if you get two warnings for the same thing in the same game, you get awarded a game loss. So Reed wants to avoid that as much as possible. And Reed knows that Morgan will call the judge if he doesn't. So it's just better for Reed to call the judge. So Reed calls the judge. That judge call took 20 minutes to resolve. The gist of the judge call is basically that Kian drew an extra card when he was not supposed to because the trigger had not resolved. Because there were spectators, people were able to confirm what the card Kian drew was, which...
Shout out to Dan.
Dan D-Train.
Literally saved Kian's fucking
life. He's a patron of ours. He's a patron of Into the North. He's a super awesome player. He was very honest and upfront about the game state. He was able to note that card. The reason why this is relevant is because the card that Kian drew from the Mystic Remora was a deflecting SWAT. The deflecting SWAT would have... For one, protected Kian from the Mindbreak Trap because he could change all the targets. And two, because of the way that the game state was set up, if this wasn't the exact ruling that it was, what would happen is there's two rulings in this situation. You have looking at extra cards, and then there's a the other one is...
like discernible information.
Yeah, discernible information, which is basically the
it's the problem with fucking Sylvan Library, where if you draw too many cards and you mix your hand, you're yes. like, well, which cards so, were so, from that? And which
so if Kian were to have drawn the card, no one else at the table would know what the card is except for Kian. So if Kian just put a card at the top of his library, he could have drawn the deflecting SWAT, put a land on top of his library, and been like, see, I put the card I drew back. And no one would be able to confirm that. Thus, if that was the case, the way that the rule would be solved is that Kian has to reveal his hand and they choose a card from among his hand and they discard that card and get it the fuck out of here.
Doesn't it go to the bottom of their library, shovel or something?
Yeah, it would go into the bottom of their library. or they would shuffle. Yeah. It would be shuffled into their library. Shuffle it in. But what ends up happening is that you get thought seized. You lose that card. And Kian had the mind break trap to protect him from the mind break trap that was being cast. So if he loses any of those cards, he loses the game. So he's fucked. So because there were spectators, and this is very rare, and this is why like your triggers and stuff matter so much, because there were spectators that were able to discern that the card on top of his library was deflecting SWAT, it was looking at extra cards, as a GRV. What they did was they made Kian shuffle his library. So the deflecting SWAT was on top of his library. He had to shuffle it away. That ended up not mattering because the mind break trap was enough for the mnemonic betrayal to resolve. And once the mnemonic betrayal resolved, Kian won the game. Not only that, but
it was a scary 25 minutes.
But the card that he drew after the mind break trap was a Grand Abolisher. So like, he kind of could have, if he wanted to, like mnemonic betrayal, Grand Abolisher, and then the deal was sealed. You know. So, but it could have been it could have been fucked up. Like Kian could have lost that game.
I could have lost.
Or you could have been 100% fucked there. I think the best part of it afterwards, hashtag spoilers, was. I forgot what his name was, the bullies guy. He was sitting there, and I was watching everything.
Oh,
you know,
Tad? Are you talking about Tad? Or
I don't know if it was Tad. Whoever was sitting next to Kian to the right. But, like, I was looking at this dude's hands. Sans blue, right? It's, like, doesn't have a lot of interaction anyways. This dude's holding two fetch lands, a fucking duel, and then, like, another land. Like, he is nothing, and he has a dark red in hand. And he's politicking pretty well, too. And at one point, he's like, I can cast a card to make someone draw off their Asper Sentinel, if you have any interaction. And it was just the Dark Red. He didn't have anything else. He had nothing to spend the mana on. He had no board. He had four fucking lands in hand, and it was wonderful. Dude casts his Dark Red at some point. You know, they do the Asper Sentinel, they draw cards, right? And then, like, I remember when finally all the horseshit had stopped, and finally it went fucking into the Northman, priority. Pass. Other player with blue, priority. This dude's like, guess I'll pass. And everyone's sitting there intense, like, oh, God, what's going to happen? And I'm like, this motherfucker has four lands. He's not going to do anything. I knew Kian had won. And then he cast Darkrit off of the Mnemonic Betrayal, casting Thassa's Oracle and fucking DC. Or
the Darkrit ended up Darkrit ended up mattering a lot, too. Like
a lot. Yeah, like a whole lot.
Because there wasn't a lot. Because
you only ended with two spare mana, I think.
I played the Mox Diamond.
It was tight.
It would have been
very
close.
Tight.
It would have been like really, really close. So it was just so funny. The way that went down. And then the probably the coolest thing ever is the mnemonic betrayal result. And me and Kevin are jumping for joy. We know as soon as the mnemonic betrayal is done, you've won. How are you going to interact with mnemonic betrayal? You can't. He's got 500 counter spells because you guys all went into a counter war. Yeah. He gets access to all of them. Half of them are free. It's like you're done. You won the game. So we're jumping for joy.
It's game over.
And everybody's
watching.
And the
best part was, he cast Dark Writ from player 4's graveyard, Thassa's Oracle from player 1's graveyard, and TP from player 2's graveyard.
It was just funny.
And I was like, bro, you literally took three decks and were like, I have the Thanos Stones.
Well, and like what's funny is we've done episodes where we're like, Mnemonic Patrol is not great for tournaments. It's like good for metas and stuff like that. Yeah. And then like you end up winning the game with it. And then finally, like you play the Thassa's Oracle and everybody's like watching. And then you play the consultation and then they still make you priority go around, and then Reed's like, yeah, I think you got it. And then everybody just starts clapping. He was like,
yeah, everybody was clapping. Off. I was like,
and then afterwards, Kian and I, like, we fucking pogged off. We went and, like, got some shit. And then, like, I think we talked about the game, and I was like, oh, hey, you had a Mox Diamond. You could have played that Abolisher. And he was like, what?
Yeah, I forgot. I was flustered because that judge call, the time it took, it was just like,
it made me nervous, dude. It made all of us nervous. So
we were freaking the fuck out. When Dan was like, hey, I have information. I know what the card was. And then the judge like took him to a corner to talk to him.
Yeah, Dan, thank you.
Back.
You saved my life.
Dude, straight up. And then the fucking judge sexily sits on the counter and is like, let me check the card.
That's
and
Seth. Like, that's Seth. Yeah, Seth is. Seth
and
is.
Then put it back down and was like, the card is the confirmed thing that the spectator said.
Yeah.
We were like, whew. Kian's good. Yeah. Touchdown.
It was cool. And like talking with Morgan and Reed about it, what was really cool is that like Morgan and Reed, Morgan also, by the way, said that you had drawn the deflecting SWAT. And it was because like from their eyes, like even though like that's a goofy situation, the last thing they want is the game to be changed because of a mistake, right? Like the last thing they want to see is you discard the Mind Break Trap because, and like you lose the game because of that, because the table voted to take the Mind Break Trap out of your hand. You know what I mean? Like nobody wants to see that because then it doesn't feel fair that someone else won. And so, like, I think everybody was happy with how that ended up happening. Like, right. A miss like, triggers.
I get the judge call. I made a mistake. Like, I'm not mad about that. Right?
Yeah.
I fucked up.
Yeah.
It just sucks that we kind of practice with, like, social aspects. And I think I'm, like, I'm doing it not as a fucking a joke on Kian. I legitimately am, like, Rhystic Study trigger priority everyone around. Because, like, after seeing Kian get almost fucking memed on with his meme betrayal on the stack, I'm like, we're not fucking making the mistake. I don't care if we're drunk at 4 in the morning. I'm asking for priority because I'm not getting fucked on like he did.
Yeah, and, like, I moving through phases. Like, just, like, after watching, like, how these tournaments go down, I play like a tournament player now. Like, I play every game like it's a tournament. Like, even practice games. No, I'm serious. Even practice games. I'll move to my upkeep, and before I draw my upkeep, I say, any effects? And if nobody says anything, then I draw my card. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to...
Oh, I mean, my staple on fucking on webcam is I'll be like, untap, upkeep, and I do this, and I'm like, draw, 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 cool.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'll fucking wait. Like, you're going to tell me I can draw.
Because, like, you don't want to end up in that situation. I think we all definitely learn from that. And I think Kian is lucky because he's used to playing with a player that likes to politic the table. So... when you sat down with Reed, you're like, I know this fucking game. I'm not letting it happen to me.
That was the game plan, right? I was like, I think Reed got tilted. I did the thing that you have to do to be political players. I turned the attention towards them. I was like, this dude has Thrasios out, Gaia's Cradle, and a bunch of dorks. I'm not doing anything over here. I just have Krom out. I'm not even beating you up. Okay, listen, he's gaining subtle advantage, and you're not doing anything about it. Another TK player is like, true, true, true.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was
honestly, though, you played tight. Like, I know you afterwards were shitting on yourself. I think throughout that entire process, you made one mistake and it didn't matter.
Yeah, it was
and
the
I
mocks.
Think you played damn near matter, right?
Well,
you
minus the draw. Minus the draw.
That was
the biggest,
yeah.
That was a big mistake.
That's not really a mistake. That's just like a social colloquial or like a social problem where he's like, you can both draw. Wait, you drew too early. Fuck yeah. You.
Like, and like
the judge call's totally reasonable.
And like I had a Krom trigger and another Mystic on the Mind Break, so I shouldn't have drawn anyway. So,
yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah.
It was really funny. And then you got stomped on turn 3 in the top 16 by Ian. Yeah. Like nothing. That game was like such a naughty. It was like all right, and then Ian's like, I win.
I couldn't even do anything. Alana played Dockside for 5. Morgan next turn played Dockside for 7, and then Ian next turn plays Dockside for I don't know how much, whatever. Plays Emil goes off. I'm like, I just played a Ledger Shredder and passed the turn. This is not even my turn 3 yet.
I just love the idea of like Dockside. Well, Dockside Emil.
Yeah. I'm like, what the?
I remember the one time I had a Dockside when there were 2 Docksides out. # Spencer.
but yeah, so the tournament was really fun. Kian showed up and represented the team. Sad note, that's right. We're official tournament grinders. We have a top 16 under our belt. 3 of us showed up.
3 of my duels were in his deck.
And
I have top
and my
16
City
duels.
Of Traders. My City of Traders is in his deck. So 3 of us showed up. 1 of us made it. That's a 33% win percentage. That's
hell yeah.
That's good for us. You know,
I'm bringing it home for the boys.
This is where I would like to take a time to talk, I guess, just to the 2 of you guys and, like, just generally to the audience. Kian and I took exactly opposite paths with the same problem. I felt down in the dumps because I was playing like shit, and I made mistakes, and they actually cost me games. I was tired after playing all those games, and I didn't want to play anymore. Kian was in the same position, but a slightly better record than me. But he just fucking vroomed it. He just went forward and said, I'm going to play. I succumbed, whatever the fuck it is. Succumbed sounds wrong. probably succumbed to my own mental stress, and I was like, fuck this, I quit. And I think tournaments do that to you. They literally grind you down. Like, any stressful thing grinds you down. This can apply to just life in general, right? Like, I gave up when I literally had no reason to. I just fucking sat there and ate an egg sandwich for like an hour. I should have just played my 7th game. I should have not fucked up my triggers, but that happens, right? And I think something you've got to be prepared for in a tournament is, like, it's literally not over till the fat lady sings. If I had won my 7th game, I had points to get to top 40. And I fucking gave up for whatever reason.
Yeah. Right? It was the same thing
like,
for...
Even without my fucker.
Yeah, it was the same thing for me, right? Like, I was 0-3-2, but 2-3-2 was a guaranteed top 40. So I could have shown up on the next day, played game six and game seven, and if I won out, I made top 40. I just had to win two games after not winning the last five.
Five.
Which isn't unreal, though. Look what happened with John from the Gemstone Mine.
Yeah, no, like,
John was
0-3-1,
and he finished the day 3-3-1. Yeah, and it's like...
Because your opponents get easier as you lose.
Yeah. that's the truth, though. And so, like, I gave up, too. And, like, I'm glad that Kian didn't give up because it made for such, like, a cool... moment for us as a group. But at the same time, I think me and you come from that spot where it's like, we probably should have played. And like seeing Kian and seeing John make it all the way, it was like, yeah,
big regret.
We probably should have played. Regret. Yeah. Especially like being like, if I lost the next game and I was 0-4-2, then I'll drop. Cause then there's no way you make it. But like, if you have a chance, you should play through because you'll never know. Like Kian thought like he was ready to drop at game six. He's like, fuck this. I don't want to be here. I'm done. Blah, 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 blah. And then made top 16, beat one of the best players to ever, touch a CDH deck. And it made for this coolest story ever. Like it was like so much fun. And it was such a cool moment for us as a friend group. Cause like, yeah. I still remember
I'm
like,
I'm glad we recorded the video too. So
yeah, we'll have that forever.
Moral of the story, Do not fucking count yourself out until you are mathematically fucked. Mm-hmm. At that point, you can go get a steak sandwich and you can fucking cry in the bathroom.
Even if you're mathematically fucked, let me and Kevin.
Just fucking play.
Let me and Kevin know. We'll bust some kneecaps and all of a sudden now you're in the top 40. Who would have known? But
I will say, small highlight of mine. It was the whole reason I bought Frog was just to fucking flex the foils, right? Mm-hmm. Game one, I go for, it doesn't matter. I go for a crop rotation. This dude's like, I'm going to oppo you. I'm like, yeah, cool. I expected it. You had three mana. It happens. And he says, I'm going to get your cradle. I want that cradle. And I said, yeah, okay. And I fucking pull out my deck and I pull through and I'm like, you want to look through it? Like, you can. He said, no, I don't care. Just give me the cradle. And he's like, yeah, I'll look at your hand too. And so I gave him my hand and then I pulled my cradle out and I flopped it down and it's the foil judge promo. This dude puts his hands up and goes, I am not fucking touching it. Everyone at the table's like, yo, can I check that shit out? And so, like, we had, like, I was fucked. Like, my game was lost. Like, I was like, whatever. I went for a win, and I fucking biffed it. But got to show off the cradle.
You won on the inside. This was my personal highlight, Kevin, when you got to meet Mitch, and you guys got to show up. Yep. Mitch, our buddy Mitch, he's from Michigan. He's friends with our friends Alana and Dan, was, like, Kevin's polar opposite. Kevin has like a fully foiled, fleshed out, fancy like Gitrog deck. And then Mitch is like, would you like to see my fully original printing Gitrog deck? And we're like, wait, what? And he's like, Alpha Demonic Detutor, Beta Soul Ring, Guru Base. And we're like, yo, what the fuck is. And
Adam literally runs out into the fucking little conference area where we're dicking off and eating sandwiches. And he's like, Kevin, you gotta get it right now. And I'm like, okay, like, what's going on? He's like, you gotta get it right now. There's a fucking frog player. You gotta frog player. And I was like, a frog together strong. And so I ran in there with my deck, and he's like, you guys gotta look at your decks. And we just, like, I whipped out my big fucking dumb frog deck, and he whipped his out. We had, like, $45,000 on the table just chilling.
I like how, he was out of all the, like, the CDH decks, whatever people build, whoever builds Gitrog, like, whenever you see a person that actually plays Frog, it's always, like, fucking either stupid. Fully foiled out or it has, like, the most flex shit in it. It's, like, always ballin'.
I'll tell you why. Your deck is stressful to play. You don't have a lot of colors, so you're not, like, you're thinking really hard about how to put the fucking square block into the square hole. And once you get there, you go fucking vroom as hell. But it's hard to get the block into the hole sometimes. So you buy cool cards because you play bad cards because you're playing black-green. And then you're like, look at this fucking 22-year-old foil that I play. Nobody else even fucking knows this card exists.
But yeah, I think overall the weekend was really fun. I think we had like a really great time. And I would definitely like do it again. I know that there's a nationals tournament going on for Eminence that's going to be like 2 hours from our house. So I'm pretty sure
everyone's invited.
I'm pretty sure we're all going to that one. We'll have more information on that soon. But yeah, I think that like more of these events is going to be really fun. And like for us, like locally, we have the Midwest Gaming Classic this year. That's going to be really fun. Like we're grinders, you know, even though Kian lost Scrubland to Eric playing Hamptor yesterday. Like,
don't even get me started, dude. That was so the biggest bad. Punt of my life.
Bro, I got fucking dicked on by a channel card I've never heard of.
Adam's just mad that I out-politicked him.
When did you out-politic me?
I didn't.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. Oh, I forgot about our game. How did our game, I don't even know what happened at our game.
Brian tried to go with the win. I had Ristic study out. He curiosity yeah, on Niv. Or you tried a dockside. I said, Adam, you got to counter this stuff, bro. You have force,
oh, no.
You have
I
two
tried
forces
to win.
In your hand.
I tried to win three times, remember? I tried to win with Derevi. I tried to win with Druid's Repository. Then I tried to Savine's Wreck. And there was just so much on the board that I couldn't do it.
You didn't Savine's Wreck, though.
Because I couldn't, because there's a Grafdigger's game.
There's a Grafdigger's turn two.
Yeah. I intuitioned knowing I could Savine's Wreck my Derevi and then was hoping someone would get rid of the Grafdigger. Cage.
No one did.
Yeah. What you gonna call it? Yeah, that was fucked. And then when I...
Oh, yeah, the games...
I was going to say, I made like 36 treasures and then cast Najeela and Druid's Repository and couldn't attack, so I couldn't win the game.
Unverted. Yeah. Yeah, the games after Philly, though, were fucking amazing. We were just goofing off at like 2 in the morning.
I was undefeated after Philly. That was sick.
True. But No. You lost one. We played 3 games. You picked up 2. I picked up 1. I picked up, was it Armix Krom that I put in my video, right? Bro, I'm the worst Grixis player ever. Fucking, I know.
Yeah, it works when
says,
you natural
literally...
Thoracle draw on your first 7 every time. Yeah, good job. Worst
so
Grixis
fucking,
player. I have Thoracle Consult.
One of our after party
Kevin,
games,
Kevin
bro.
Is our own playgroup's version of legit vocals.
I played Breach with 1 fucking card in the graveyard. It was Demonic Consultation. These guys go, okay. I go, Thoracle. They go, bro, you don't have cards in the graveyard. You can't do the thing. And then they were like, there's no way he's just fucking stupid.
I thought you were. I 100% thought you were.
Little did they know.
Yeah, both Adam and I looked at each other like, this dude's fucking dumb.
So, like, they're like, he can't. He's got to. You got to have something. No one just fucking does this. So we start a fucking counter war for like 10 minutes. Eventually, all the counters in my hand becomes the fuel for the Demonic Consultation. And I'm like, get fucked. I outplayed you. I bigger brained you. I'm Grixis.
I did the bigger brain.
I did it the bigger brain. It didn't work out.
But guess what? It didn't work out because that was the game you took off your pants because you got Mind Break Trap.
Because 2 separate times a Fish Trigger fucking drew a free counter spell. And I even drew one. Someone else fucking got a free counter spell. And I was like, oh, I got my Chrom Trigger. Oh, Mind Break Trap. Oh, Trigger Fish. Oh, Mind Break Trap. And it, yeah. Anywho. Those games were fun. I literally ripped my pants off and screamed. Grixis is fun. Everyone should play Grixis. Moral of the story. Fuck friendship. Fuck confidence. Just play Grixis.
Yes, very much so.
I agree with that statement.
But other than that, I think that's kind of all we got for today. Next week, we're going to have an episode with Brian Koval, who like won the whole thing, who's a good friend of ours. So
Bosh and Roll himself.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. It's going to be me, Kian, and Brian. So that's going to be sick. So make sure you stick around for that because we got real questions to ask Brian, okay? None of that foo-foo lame shit. None of that, what do you think about 60 card versus CD? No, we're talking about real stuff like casual EDH and all the things that Brian loves.
Yeah, real shit.
You should ask him about international politics. Keep it real fucking
hot. Wait. But other than that, unless you guys have anything you want to wrap up with, I think I'm going to move to the cleanup. All good?
Good to go to cleanup. All
right. So, see, make sure that priority passes before we resolve, and then...
before we draw a card.
And then we'll move to cleanup. So, again, we'd like to thank all of our high-tier patrons, Dude, Usable Object, Senator Tom, Scorus, Jeff Bezos, Domino, and Geos Justin. Thank you guys so much for the support. The support from our patrons is what makes us here at SadNaz continue to pump out amazing content. Remember, that content is coming bi-weekly now. And, you know, if you want to support us on Patreon, make sure you do so at patreon.com/sadnaz. We're doing a big overhaul to the Patreon. We're going to update a bunch of shit. 2023 is going to be a big year for us. It's our goal is to hit 1,000 subs. So if we can do that, it's going to be awesome. And we're going to do a bunch of giveaways, a bunch of cool tournaments. We're going to be doing a lot of stuff for the community on our end because now we have money to do that thanks to our patrons. So it's really cool to have that. For those of you that haven't joined our Discord, I'm getting fucking tired of saying it, okay? Fucking click the link, all right? Like, I'm pissed off about it, all right?
He's angry.
Yeah, I want you. Whoa, okay, Kevin's got a knife. Wait, we can't. No, but join the Discord, man. It's so much fun in there. We got our little community. We got all our inside jokes, and you're missing out on them. You don't even know what they're...
And you get to shit on Adam and Croc. It's fucking...
Okay, well... There's a lot
we post the race car emoji like 4 times a day.
There's a lot after. Of that. You're missing after. Out on all the fun. After. You're missing out on all the fun. So get in there, be a part of it. Join the Sad Naws cult. I can't say that probably. It's probably like legal things that, but just
sure,
like
cult.
Sure.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Whatever. Okay, let's go. Whatever you want us to be.
Vroom!
Oh, and that was
there you go. And I was gonna say finally, whether you're listening on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or anywhere else, like. Subscribe, leave a comment, drop us a review, share us with your friends, share us with your mom, share us with your grandpa. We know we just had Thanksgiving. I hope you were playing our videos on the Thanksgiving dinner table because that's the type of shit that we're into. It helps with growing our channel and gives us the ability to work with new people and reach new audiences like the Mind Sculptors. I know that me and Kian are trying to guest on their show. We've been talking about doing other shows. It's like all this cool stuff that we get to do because you guys support us. So let us support you. And with that, we're going to end the episode. So have a great week. Next week, we're interviewing Brian Koval. Make sure you check in for that.
Stay tuned for that.
And we'll see you.
And dude, this is for you.
All right, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Bye.
It's all dude's fault.